we started a series called What's Missing? And last week we talked about the first thing, the biggest thing that's missing is Jesus Christ. And you've got to get that right. I mean, we could go through life searching for things and I don't need the church. I don't need this. I don't need this. I just got to make my own way. And you're going to keep finding yourself over and over, finding yourself in dark places, feeling empty, not feeling complete. So you've got to get Jesus first. We've got to love God. That's the first thing, love God. And then the second command was just like it, to love others, and that's community. And so we're going to talk about community today. I was thinking about the evolution of priorities. The evolution of priorities. And I see this with my granddaughter now. She's about 16 months. And I see her when she's playing and everything. And it's all about the toys. And she's got like these little like toys, and she'll bring them over to me, and she'll pop, 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 and she gives them to me, and then immediately takes them back because they're her toys. Right? And you remember when we were kids, we had to have the newest toy. We had to, you know, if our friends got like a big wheel, we wanted the big wheel, you know? We wanted those kind of things. And then as we grew up into a student maybe, we started to change because now we were kind of put together in groups in our school, in our class, and we wanted to fit in, so we had to wear the right clothes. Now, when I was growing up, we used to have this little alligator. And Penny's had a little fox. And I remember one time, Margie's brother, he took an alligator, cut it off of a sweater from Goodwill, and put it chasing the fox as kind of a social statement, you know. But anyway, you had to have those. Remember, we had to have the Chuck Taylor shoes. We had to have the Pumas. We had to have whatever the, you know, and you could tell the kids that didn't fit in because they didn't have the right clothes. And we had to have the newest video games, and we had to have all of these things. And it's about this acceptance, but it was also about the experiences that we had as a kid. And that was our evolution. We went from having to have these material things, now we had to have these experiences. We got to drive. We got our first crush. We got invited to our first party. You know, and these experiences begin to shape us. And as we were these young adults, these were important to us. But then we became adults. You know, we got hit with the real world. And so our priorities shifted again. And it was more about status and recognition. We had to have a house. We had to have a car. It was our job. Oh, my job is better than your job. Oh, he got a raise. I didn't get a raise. What's going on? And it was, am I being recognized? Is it about status? Is it about these things? And then as I now am an older adult, I mean, I've got AMAC and the other one. Anyway, they're calling me because I got to sign up for Medicare this year in just a couple months. So I'm an old man now, right? And so now my priorities change, and it's not about material things because I can't afford them. It's not about the newest things because I don't look good in the newest fashions. You know, it's not about those things anymore. It's about people. It's about people. It's about community. It's about surrounding myself with people that really matter, true friends that really matter, someone that's going to walk with me in difficult times, someone that's going to support me, someone that's going to be there for me, pray with me, pray for me. The most valuable thing in life, and I want us to, whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're in between, the most valuable thing in life is people. It's people. Things don't get us through difficult times. Things don't get us through difficult times. You could have all the money in the world and still be going through a difficult time and be miserable. Because money can't buy happiness. It can buy a lot of things, but it can't buy happiness. What gets us through difficult times is people. People. Now stay with me because you're thinking like, nah, I don't like people. And we're going to address that in just a few minutes. Again, we talked about what's missing. First is Jesus. The second is community. Now, individualism, we kind of grew up in this American Western Christian culture where, you know, I can pull myself up by the bootstraps. I can do these things on my own. I don't need anybody's help. You're not the boss of me. I'm my own thing. In fact, we kicked England out of the way, you know, because we wanted to do it ourselves, right? Individualism a lot of times can seem attractive. and could be heroic, but this leads to a life of isolation, okay? If you find yourself like, oh, I don't need your help, you're going to find people just, I don't want to be around you anyway. And you're going to find yourself alone. And then when you need somebody, when you need to cry out or call out, there's not going to be anybody there. And God did not create us to be alone. And some of you today, you're sitting in the chairs here, and you come in the door, and you sit here, and you put on that smile. It's Sunday morning. Hey, I'm here. You wave. You shake a couple hands. But then when you leave, you feel alone. You feel disconnected. You feel isolated. And sometimes it's you're more determined. Look, I've got to get myself right. I've got to fix myself. I want to tell you this. Church is great on Sundays. I love singing songs of praise and worship with you guys. I love sharing the good news of the gospel with you guys. I love all of the stuff that we do on a Sunday morning. But can I tell you, church is even better on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And you're thinking like, what? What are you talking about? Well, let's say Monday you get together at a friend's house for a Bible study, and you're in a small group of like maybe 6 to 8 people, and you can be bare. You can say like, this is what's going on in my life. Can we just talk about that for a moment? And you get connected, and that's the church. And then Tuesday night, we open the doors and we have prayer. And it's an opportunity for people to get together and humble themselves and gather together in a small group and just pray, pray, pray. And then on Wednesdays, we open up the Bible and we open up studies and we say like, wow, this is awesome. And we do it in smaller groups so that we can connect and make a bond with a few people. And we find out that, you know what? You're struggling with the same thing that I am. And I can tell you that is awesome. It's better than just coming in on a Sunday, singing a few songs, waving our hands and saying, okay, I got my God fixed for the week, and then leaving. And then Thursday, and then Friday, and Saturday, and finding these places where I can just be in community with other believers. It's more real. It's deeper. We get to know each other. Friday nights, and we're going to start these pretty soon. We're going to have guys. We're going to have our fires again. And what an awesome time. We sit around a fire. And we just say, you know, Steve will start asking us questions, and some of them you don't want to answer. I don't want people to know that about me, but then all of a sudden the walls break down and people see you transparent. And that's the church. Community, being vulnerable, accountable, serving one another. But that can make us feel uncomfortable sometimes, right? How many of you have ever been hurt in a church? Anybody? Okay, I see a couple hands. Okay, here's the thing. It's easy to pick up offenses. You could do that this morning. You could come in here and say, like, golly, Paul, you're playing the piano way too loud. Y'all are singing. I don't like the music. It's more like a rock show than praise and worship. The airs, it's too hot, it's too cold. And you could find fault with everything in the church. Oh, he preaches too long. He doesn't preach long enough, and all of the stuff. I don't like this. Or he said this about me, or she said this. And we pick up these offenses in the church. But can I tell you, Jesus didn't die for that. Jesus died for people. Jesus died for this community. And instead of checking our heart and saying, you know what? Yeah, maybe the music is too loud. Paul's mic keeps squealing. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on. I mean, our roof may be leaking again, and it may fall down on y'all's head right about right in there, Quinn. No, I'm kidding. But those things could happen in a church. But can I tell you, the church doesn't hurt people. People hurt people. It's people in the church that will hurt people. Maybe they said something about you. Maybe they didn't hold a trust that you gave to somebody. And they went out and they shared it. And all of a sudden you were embarrassed and people are looking at you differently. And so you say, I'm never going back. I'm not going back to that place. I don't like the way they worship. I don't like the way they sing. I don't like the songs that they sing. I don't like the Bible version that they're reading. I don't like any of that. I'm offended. And I think it breaks Jesus' heart because he didn't die for that. The church didn't hurt people. People did. And the people can be hurtful. People can be hurtful, and I will let you know that, but it's people that heal people. It's people that heal people. Think about it this way. You can sin alone. I mean, sinning with a group is fun, you know. Like I was telling you last week, this is descriptive, not prescriptive. Do not go out and do any of this. But when I was younger and a little less mature, I guess, and some of you are still waiting for me to keep maturing. But the point is, we would break into these tennis courts at night and sometimes into the pools. And every once in a while, you'd catch a guy who would say, like, you know, the guard would know that we're not supposed to be there. And he would look at us and he goes, all right, y'all aren't supposed to be here. I'll give you 15 more minutes. And it was like, wow, that was awesome. And we knew we didn't belong, and we knew we weren't supposed to do that, but we were kind of sinning in a group. You know what I mean? And it was okay, and we went along with the crowd. But you can sin alone, too. You could sit alone at your house and say things and watch things and do things that are not God-honoring. And we could do all of those things, but it's people that can bring us accountability. It's people that could bring us back into the light. In fact, in James, if you look in James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. See, it's a group. Confess your sins to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed, because the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So I want to share a story with you out of the Old Testament, and I want us to look at community, and I want you to see how community can change us. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This is in the book of Exodus, chapter 17, and I'm going to start in verse 8. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. Now Moses said to Joshua, choose for us men to go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joseph did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek. And while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Now whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, so that his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joseph overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. So you get the picture here. Moses is telling Joshua, the leader, saying, hey, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and battle Amalek, the Amalekites. They're really bad. They're vicious. They're ungodly to the hilt. And he's saying, like, I want you to go and battle them in this valley. And so while you're doing that, I'm going to take the staff of God, and I'm going to go up on this mountain, and I'm going to take Aaron and Hur with me. Got the plan? Go. So Joshua goes. They go up on top of the mountain. Now, picture this. Moses is familiar with mountains. Moses is a survivor. Remember when he kills the Egyptian and flees Egypt and he's living in the wilderness? I mean, he's out there in the wilderness, living on his own, doing what he does. And he goes up on the mountain and he talks to God. He's by himself. He also goes up on the mountain when he's leading the people with the law. And he's getting all of this stuff just with God. He's used to being on top of a mountain by himself. But this time, he chooses two people to go with him. And they go with him. So let's kind of dive into this story a little bit. Pick it apart and see, what is God saying to us about community in this? I think the first thing, a good community will walk that difficult road with you. If you're in a good community, they will walk with you in those hard times. Verse 10, so Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went on top of the hill. See, Moses was a survivor, but he knew, wait a minute, this is going to be too difficult for me alone. So he takes these two people with him. We are going to find ourselves in situations in our lives where we need somebody to come alongside us. And instead of saying, you know what, I got this. I can do this. I can fix myself. No, you can't. I need somebody to walk with me because I am going to wear out. I'm going to break down. I'm going to need a shoulder to cry on. I'm going to need somebody that I can vent to. There's going to be things in my life, and I need somebody that will walk that difficult walk with me. I talked to Sandra about what I wanted to share, and she, most of you are familiar with her story. And I asked her if I could share part of this, and she said yes. Well, actually, she goes, I don't care, you know, but you know Sandra. But as she was sharing about the loss of her two boys, and especially Caleb, her second child, it wasn't people sending cards. It wasn't people calling on the phone. It was the people that showed up, the people that really didn't even have anything to say. They just stood there with her while she was in the deepest grief of her life. And we're going to find ourselves in times like that where we need people just to show up and be there. The problem is, for most of us, we don't know what to say. We think we have to come up with the right words. How many times as a pastor, people have come to me and they've laid out this stuff, and my outside demeanor is like, My inside demeanor is like, what? You know, I don't know what to tell you. And they don't want an answer. They don't want anything. They don't want me saying like, Jesus would do this. The Bible says to do this. They don't want to hear a sermon in that moment. They just want somebody to be there with them and to know that they will walk that hard walk with them. And that's what Moses was doing. He took on this difficult walk, he took Aaron and Hur with him. Second thing, besides walking a difficult road with you, a good community will offer you a safe place to rest. They'll give you a place where you don't have to be on. You could just be real. And you could just lay it out. And they will give you that safe space. It says this in the first part of verse 12. But Moses' hands grew weary. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. You ever reached a point where you were almost so exhausted, it's like, all I want to do is just sit. I just want to veg out for a minute. You know, you're maybe a hard day at work and everything went wrong and the boss was on you and just stuff going on. Maybe it was at school and you thought you had everything done, but you did the wrong assignment and now you got a zero and she's not sure if she's going to let you make it up. And it's like your whole day is just shot. And when you come home, you know, your significant other meets you at the door with a list of demands. Hey, did you remember to do this, 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 and this, and this? And you just feel like, I just feel like I'm just being hammered. I feel like I'm just being pelted with rocks. I just want to catch my breath for a minute. I just want to close my eyes. Actually, I just want to close my eyes and die. And we find ourselves in those moments, but a good community will give you that space. Not to put demands on you, but to say, you know what? Open up to me. Be as brutally honest as you want. I'm not going to give you any advice. I'm just going to sit and I'm going to listen. I'll hold your hand if you need it. I'll give you a shoulder to cry on. But I will give you that place of rest. You can come to me. You can lay it all out and I'm not going to judge. And so that's what they did. They brought the rock and he was able to sit down on the rock. But the third thing, not only walking that difficult road, but giving us a safe place to rest, it says a good community is going to fight for you when you can't. It's going to fight for you when you can't. The second part of verse 12, Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and one on the other, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Can you imagine that? Here's Moses with the staff of God. Remember, throws it down, turns into a snake, hits rocks, water comes out. It's the staff of God. He's holding it up. He's holding his hands up. And after a while, I mean, this is all day battle, y'all. I'm wearing out. So he sits down. His hands start to fall down. It says when his hands fall down, what happens? The Amalekites start winning. And Joshua, Aaron and Hur are like, okay, we got this figured out. You grab that side, I'll grab this side. And they're lifting his hands up. And as soon as they do, the Israelites start to win the battle again. You're going to find yourselves in times where you can't fight the battle. I can't go on. And you will have people fight that battle with you. We talk about people that when we pray, that I'll pray for you, but I will also pray with you. As our prayer group gathers on Tuesday, we intercede on behalf of everybody that's on our prayer list, everybody that comes to our mind, our friends, our families, just all over the place. And we're just praying and we're just praying because we are standing in the gap for people that can't even do it themselves. And so we are reaching out through God's word. Guys, 3 Point is my community. Margie and I live here. We worship here. We serve here. We give here. This is, you guys, whether you want to admit it or not, you're my friends. And there are times where Margie and I needed people to just come along beside us. And it means so much when you get a phone call or a text message and it says, hey, we're praying for you. When Margie lost her stepfather not too long ago, people reached out. What can we do for you? How can we help you? And then we had people to actually show up in Columbus at the service. There are times where we need people to come alongside of us, to hold our hands up when we are worn out, when we're tired, and during those tough times. And not just that, we need people to celebrate with when there's something good in our lives. You know, I've got another granddaughter that's on the way. She'll be here in February. And so I'll have 2 grand boys and 2 grand girls, and I can't wait to spoil all of them. I'm good at that, by the way. You know, I was, you know, the story I was sharing with Rhea, you know, I remember Breck when he was young, and I thought as my first grandson, you know, I'll never be able to love anybody as much as I loved him. And now it's like he knows that, I think. So he's like, hey, Papa, I need that sliding mitt. It's $100 because it's made by some artist in Nashville. And he tells me that because he knows Papa will move heaven and earth to get it for him until Margie sees where the charge is coming from and we send it back, kind of thing. She keeps me real, y'all. I remember one story with Breck where we were going into a store, and one of the things Margie likes to do when we go and visit them, she'll go to the Dollar Tree and she'll just pick up just like a real cheap little game or a toy or something, usually shooting Nerf darts or something like that. And I remember going out with Breck one time, and he had a gift card to Dick's, and he's a big fisherman and hunter. I mean, he's only 12, but he's already bagged a deer, and he catches fish like, you know, stuff catches flies. I mean, he is good. And we go into Dick's, and of course, his thing is for like $25, but he wants this $125 rod. And I'm like, well, you can't really get it. Well, Papa, I tell you what, if you get this for me, then you could use my old one, and I can use this. You know, he's conniving, right, you know? So y'all pray for him. But I'm like, I finally talk him into it. He wasn't happy, but I talked him into like just with his $25, and I would add like another $20, and he could get this like box that has all of these lures and stuff. It's like a surprise box, and you open it up, and it's supposed to have $200 worth of stuff for $50 or something like that. And I finally talk him into it, and we go up to check out. And the lady at Dick's says, oh, hey, would you like to donate to, and I forgot what the donation was. It was, you know, help the children or something like that. And I was like, well, yeah, sure. And Breck looked at me, and he has no filter, just like me. Breck looked at me, and he goes, Papa, that's why you can't buy me that big rod, because you're giving money to all these other people. So like I said, y'all pray for him. But we find ourselves in these communities, and we find ourselves in these places where we're going to need people to come around beside us and to lift us up and to be with us. And the best place to find that is in the church. The real church, not the phony church where we get together and we play church and we just say, yes, everything's fine. Oh, I'm fine. You don't have to talk to me. I'm fine, and we go out of here and we're still broken and we're still beaten. We need to all do a checkup from the neck up and say, where is our community? Who is our community? Who is praying for me? Who is walking with me? What's missing? Jesus is missing first. And once you get that right, the next thing is a strong community. And the only way to build that is if we build it together. I mean, think about the very first thing that God said that was bad. Remember, God created, it was good. God created, it was good. God spoke, and it was good. God created, it was good. What was the first thing he said? It wasn't good. For man to be alone. So don't do life alone. Be in community. Father, I just pray that you would open our hearts to hear your word today, that we would find community, that we would be loving with one another, that we would build up one another, and that this would be a safe place where people can gather and learn more about you. And Father, we pray all this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen.